Welcome to Career Tours. This week, how do I progress in my career without becoming a manager? Part two. The questions this cast answers are, is the only way to progress in my career being a manager? What kind of career can I have if I don't want to be a manager? And what other options are there for me if I don't want to be a manager?
One of our very best options for on-site training is our effective communicator training. Why? Because this training is for any professional in your organization. Anyone who's part of a project team, communicates priorities, works with clients and customers, or serves a broad array of internal groups. And while it's great for managers, it's useful for all professionals. When it comes to you, prior to the training, we'll learn more about your organizational structure, your mission, your challenges, and we'll tailor our guidance. And there's a lot of practice during the day, making on-site the best option. If you're interested in understanding more about how to use MT Disc or host an on-site effective communicator training, contact Maggie at maggie@manager-tools.com to learn more about and schedule your group training.
So Amanda, last week we talked about the overarching actions that you want to take if you want to find interesting and fulfilling roles if you don't want to be a manager. And that's all around building and using your network to make sure you find the opportunities where you can find something new to do that gives you those new opportunities, new things to do or new places to work or new people to work with that gives you that feeling of moving on, of progression without moving up the hierarchy and necessarily managing people, because not all of us have the skill or the will to do it. Then we talked about some of the role options, so roles that you can take where you don't necessarily end up managing people on a day-to-day basis. And this week we're going to talk about some skill options. So you can look at these skills where these allow you to progress through your career without becoming a manager. So you can get quote unquote better or bigger jobs without necessarily going up the hierarchy. The first one of those is become a subject matter expert.
The subject matter expert is the person who goes deep, and I mean deep into one subject. They are very focused. But this doesn't really mean that they're shallow on everything else, but that their knowledge is extensive in that one area. They're the expert in it. You can become a subject matter expert in practically anything. There are so many routes and avenues to become a subject matter expert in an area. You can become a subject matter expert in practically anything. It doesn't need to be something that is unique. When people think of, oh, I need to become an expert in something, they think, I'm going to get so much knowledge in one area that nobody really knows anything about, so everyone will have to come to me. And that's not the case. And your expertise doesn't need to be unique compared to anybody else's. You could actually become a subject matter expert in PowerPoint slides. You could be the person that everyone goes to because you have extensive knowledge in PowerPoint slides. Imagine that. You could be the person who after every upgrade checks all the new features and works out what will be useful to the team and what won't be. You can be helpful in other ways. It doesn't have to be a uniqueness compared to anybody else.
I have a friend who is an unbelievable writer of processes for training new insurance agents. He works in a call center and he is just known as the guy when the process changes or when they change a form or something, he's the guy they go to because he just has the right mindset for being able to write the step-by-step process that a new person will be able to follow every single time. And he has a 40-year career with the company and nobody will ever let him go because they know he can do it. He does it really fast. And they're like, no, he's never on the chopping block because they just don't want to lose this skill because the forms and the processes change so regularly that they just don't want to lose that skill. And it's not complicated or complex or even very esoteric. It's not something very unique. It just happens to be something that he's really good at and most people aren't.
Yeah. He's the guy to go to.
He is the guy to go to. Yeah. Now, it does make sense to make sure that the subject you go deep into is one that's complementary to the industry or the team or the organization or the role that you do or that you want to work in. You might find the study of astronomy fascinating, but knowing the latest developments is not much help if you work in insurance, unless, of course, you're calculating the odds of the Earth being struck by a meteorite, in which case probably knowing about astronomy is a good thing. If you're going into this thing, if you're making a study of whatever it is, if you want to become a subject matter expert in it and you think it's a career move, then make sure it's something that's useful in your career. If you want to make a study of a subject because it's fascinating, then by all means do that, but it won't be useful to your career unless it's useful in your career.
Kind of a fun thought about insurance agents. I mean, astronomy might be a thing now that we're sending civilians into space. I don't know.
Yes.
That's something that someone can look into. I'm not going to, but someone out there.
Free idea for you.
Yes. You're welcome. And you know, the knowledge you have does not need to be a result of formal learning. You don't have to go out and get the degree in order to prove that you have or you are the subject matter expert or you have all that information. In some areas, particularly where companies are doing research and submitting patents, you may need to have the credentials. On the other hand, if you want to be the person in the company who knows everything about the taxation implications of purchase decisions of components that only require that you keep up with legislation, the news, and the grapevine. For cutting-edge subjects, there is no degree qualification. It's all experimentation and keeping up with the latest news.
Right. If you want to be the expert in AI on the 11th of August, as we're recording this, a degree is absolutely useless to you. The only thing that's useful to you is not even reading the news, because the news is 8 weeks behind what's happening. You need to be reading the press releases, the research, and trying every tool you can find, because that's the only way to be an expert right now. In some organizations, there is a management track and a subject matter expert track. And IBM is famous for having this structure. So there is a promotion can move you up the ladder of either track. So you can have a promotion to management, or you can have promotions which take you up a subject matter ladder up all the way. I think the top is a fellow of whatever it is you are. And not all companies will recognize your increasing expertise and reward it with increasing salary, increasing job titles, or increasing respect, which is the downside of becoming a subject matter expert. You have all this extra expertise and you would hope that they would reward it, but not everybody does. In this case, you have to make a decision. Is being the subject matter expert, knowing you don't want to be a manager, enough for you? Or do you want to change companies in order to get those kind of benefits? And that's a choice that only you can make. For some people, just being the expert is enough, and they're paid enough, and they have enough respect, and they're doing something interesting enough, or they have they're a work-to-live person and not a live-to-work person, and they're happy enough. And for other people, it's not enough, and they want to find a company where expertise is recognized, and that's fine. It's neither is right or wrong. It's all your choice. But the thing is, you will become increasingly frustrated if you want to be recognized for an increasing skill set and you're at a company that doesn't recognize increasing expertise. So you have to know where you are and what you're looking for, because if you're in the wrong kind of company, that just leads to frustration. Then you have to move. But if you're in the right place, then you're happy as Larry, as my mother says.
I like that. Yeah, you have to find your happiness and know that organization or that career path is going to take you there.
Good morning, Austin. Or good afternoon, Kansas City, wherever you are. And seriously, Austin. I am hosting a Halloween EMC and ECC, no costumes, in Austin this month. We'll be downtown October 31st and November 1st. Come out, learn the next steps to being a more effective professional in our effective manager and effective communicator courses. Austin's a great town, and I'd love to host you there. Sign up at manager-tools.com/training. Come see me in Austin on Halloween.
Now, another option for skill set is to broaden your skill set. The opposite of being a subject matter expert is someone who has expertise that is a wide range, a lot of information or a lot of expertise over a lot of areas, but not nearly as deep as our subject matter experts. So instead of going deep into one topic, you could learn about a lot of information about your industry, your organization, or even just for your role. An example of this is as an individual contributor in a marketing company who delivers customer implementations of the CMR systems, you could become an expert in project management and how that is done in various forms and flavors, or about marketing companies and how their various forms and flavors affect the success. Or you could learn about project implementation in industries far and wide. As an example, you could learn from the implementation of a new stoplight system. In fact, you could be the person who knows a little bit about all of the things.
Because there's always something to learn. Like, what? It's interesting to think, what could an implementation of a CRM system person learn from the implementation of a stoplight system? I don't know what the answer to that is, but I'm curious.
Yeah.
It used to be said that pitch decks in Silicon Valley all began with a, we are the X of X statement. So for example, there's a company which you can borrow toys for your children, and they bill themselves as the Netflix of children's toys. So the X of X is the Netflix of children's toys. And there are all sorts of ways in which ideas and strategies and approaches can be applied from one industry to another. And when you're the person who has the wide view, you're often able to see how an approach that someone else is using could be applied to the work you and your team are doing.
Yeah, knowing a lot about the inner workings of different things really helps you get that big picture and translate it into what could be another big picture. The next skill set would be offer mentoring and coaching. Now, when it comes to mentoring and coaching, it could be a formal or informal role as a mentor or coach. And this gives you the opportunity to pass on your skills, all that knowledge you have spent time learning, without a day-to-day management of a person or all the people. You're just passing on your information and helping them along. So it's not management. This, of course, shows that some of these ideas can be combined, right? All the things that we've talked about, it's not a this or that. It can be a combination. If you are a subject matter expert in PowerPoint slides, then coaching someone who is new to PowerPoint slides is an obvious use of those skills. Coaching can also include soft skills like relationships, communication, critical thinking, problem solving, decision making, and leadership skills.
The one thing we're going to caution you about in mentoring or coaching is not to appoint yourself as someone's mentor or coach. It either has to come from them asking you for help or their manager asking you to help them. Telling someone they need help when you don't have the role authority to do so, it just doesn't end well, usually. Telling someone they need help when they haven't recognized it usually gets people's backs up, because people don't like to get negative feedback until they've recognized it for themselves, or their manager says, you're not doing well, go and ask so-and-so for help, or I've told so-and-so to help you. So well-meaning people often appoint themselves as someone else's coach, or they try and do it without the person realizing that's what they're doing. And none of those situations, in my experience, end well.
Yeah, mentoring and coaching shouldn't be a sneak attack, right?
Right, exactly. Right?
It should be a thought-out process so you can help give someone else all of that knowledge that you have or what you're really good at, right? So just make sure you go about it the right way. Another skill is contribute to strategy. In big companies, there are committees, planning sessions, and cross-department projects about future plans. When a company decides they want to build a new plant or they want to have a new initiative amongst employees, or there's some new employment legislation that has to be implemented, or even a new computer system that affects a large portion of employees, they convene one of these groups. They get together, they have a committee or a planning session, or through departments, they help make these decisions.
And we're going to carefully caveat this, so don't go too fast. But contributing to these kind of activities can be one way to progress your career without becoming a manager. Because you get to meet people from other departments, you get to work on something that's across the company, you get to work on something that's progressing the company forward. It's all good things. But the careful caveat is taking time away from your job to work with people outside your team on topics which may be sensitive can be politically risky. You will almost certainly be told that this isn't true, that your contribution is important and confidential and there won't be any repercussions. And we can't guarantee that. And we will never give you guidance that could hurt you without telling you that it could hurt you. And your manager could certainly have a range of negative emotions when you spend time on a committee run by HR, which includes a senior VP that you now have a relationship with, especially if she doesn't think that your performance at your own job is up to par or that she doesn't have any relationships at that level. So it could be nothing to do with you and everything to do with how your manager feels about a whole range of other subjects. So even though you will almost certainly be told working on this committee is a really good thing for you and it can only benefit you, it's not always true. So just be careful when you consider doing this and think about people's relationships and your relationships and what negative outcomes there could be and whether or not you're willing to risk those.
Yeah. You have to weigh that risk versus reward. In smaller companies, these kind of situations don't occur as often or as formal meetings. When the company decides to implement that new computer system, a few people might get together and it's just done. And then someone tells you, right? We've all gotten those emails. This is implemented. It's just done. It is much more informal. But that doesn't mean that you can't be a part of that informal group making decision. And again, the caveat, the same caveat that Wendy just talked about applies. The smaller the company, the less likely there are significant political implications, but that is not to say that there are none.
So we'll recur to the beginning of our guidance, which was 45 minutes ago. You get to decide what progression means to you. If it means moving on to something more interesting, but the same job title, that's okay. If it means moving to a bigger company with what would be thought of as a lesser job title, that's okay. If it means taking a cut in salary and you're okay with that, that's okay. If you want to be a manager and you never get past managing a team of individual contributors, that's okay. And if you want to be CEO, that's okay too. You get to decide what makes you happy and you get to change your mind later. And at different times in our lives, we want different things. And you get to choose what you want now and you get to go for it. So go for it.
Absolutely, go for it.
Thanks, Amanda.
All right, thanks, Wendy.
That's all for this week. We'll be back next week with a new topic. Bye, everyone.